is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. Sunshine and highs in the upper 60s to low 70s predicted today. That's after scattered rains in portions of South Dakota moved to the east. A gradual warm-up is expected with highs in the 80s for many folks by Saturday. A drier weather pattern is the forecast. The exception would be some isolated rains in Minnesota.
Still plenty of time to get the wheat seeded. That from University of Minnesota Extension small grain specialist Joachim Wiersma. Wiersma says there's no need to increase seeding rates yet.
No, not yet. We're still the first week of May in a way. So by next week, yeah. But for now, we're still good.
Wiersma says the biggest issue this spring has been cold temperatures.
The winter cereals, I've looked at some of my trials in Roseau and on station right now. It's amazing the winter rye, despite, you know, we're lacking heat units overall because the leaves on the trees still haven't, you know, come out. And that's been almost 3-4 weeks now. The rye still does what it does, and it's at first joint, and in some cases it's reaching second joint by the end of this week.
Rain delays sideline many planters, but field activity picking up. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Thunderseed sales manager for Minnesota and North Dakota, Derek Haug, reports that planting has been mixed for much of the southern half of North Dakota following the delays from recent weather.
It's kind of spotty. We've had a lot of rain over the last couple of weeks in hit and miss areas. You know, everybody's gotten some rain, but some areas have gotten more. So there's some areas that have, corn, beans, and wheat going in or are in already, and then there's other areas you get up over west of the Carrington area, and I've talked to some growers up in that area, and they haven't even turned a wheel yet. So it's kind of all over the place. A lot of guys were waiting for ground temps to warm up a little bit more, and then we got some more rain, and some guys started to go, and some guys are still kind of waiting. So, but it looks like it's drying up good. It doesn't look like there's any rain too near in the forecast.
Haug says that the rains aren't all bad, helping with the dust and dry soils.
Yeah, the moisture helps. I mean, we're still... It's still dry. I mean, we've all seen it. You know, was it 2 days ago when we had those, 40, 50, 60 mile an hour winds? And, you see those big dust clouds of topsoil blowing around. So even with the moisture, we're still dry out there, but we're at least planting into some fairly good conditions. A lot of guys have said that the tillage has been going really well, that the moisture's helped with that, and the ground's, working up pretty nice, so everybody's happy about that so far. So we just need a little bit warmer weather and string together a handful of dry days, and we could get a lot accomplished.
Though they're not here yet, it's never too early to be prepared for bugs and weeds.
I know there's some guys that have been saying they've been seeing some bugs out in, along their houses and in, garden areas and things like that. So I know weeds are coming, bugs are coming, all of that stuff's going to happen sooner than later, so we need to start planning for that eventually, too.
That was Thunderseed sales manager for Minnesota and North Dakota, Derek Haug. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
USDA will release its first supply and demand estimate, or WASD, report for this growing season tomorrow. The average trade guess for the corn ending stocks, 2.28 billion bushels. That's up from 2.1 billion bushels last year. Soybean ending stocks expected to total 436 million bushels, up from 340 million a year ago. The trade expects USDA to deliver an average corn yield of just over 180 bushels per acre and a soybean yield of 52 bushels per acre.
Traders are dialing in a bearish supply-demand number for that report tomorrow. Van Aan and Company analyst Christy Van Aan says the report could be a tough one for the bean market.
We have a crop report on Friday, and that could be a dagger, and so we just need to be aware of that. But I do feel like after all this work, it'd be crazy for the beans not to kind of cash in on that prize of closing that gap. So I'm watching that. I think that corn, you're looking at coming in here and saying, okay, 2 months ago we got an acre number that not a lot of people believe. Now we're going to post some carryouts for the first time with that acre number. So we'll see carryout levels forecasted for next year for the first time on Friday. And I just think that those carryout levels are forecasted to be high, and the market kind of has a sentiment that we could find a couple million acres of corn acres yet.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Comstock Investments Analyst Joe Camp says Friday's supply and demand report is going to be an important one.
This May one, having the first look at estimates for the new crop, the supply and demand for our 2024-2025 marketing year, it could be that we've mostly priced in the bearishness related to expectations for ending stocks to grow from here, at least on the basis of these trend line yields, which come in at what would be record highs. We know those are always hard to achieve in the early going.
South America's numbers in Friday's WASDE report will be important.
Because of these changes expected or needed for South America, some crop loss now with flooding in southern Brazil being talked about after already the USDA had been well above most in the trade on their Brazilian production estimates, and now as the harvest moves forward in Argentina, also some reckoning, it seems, for the crops there and the discount of what could be this larger damage from the corn stunt disease that's been more widely realized here in recent weeks.
The wet conditions have delayed field work. It has also given the fertilizer market more time to prepare for the next round of demand. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer, Josh Linville, called it a positive outcome wrapped in a wet blanket. Global nitrogen markets are quiet, potash prices also flat. Linville said the phosphate market is reeling from the Commerce Department's decision to increase tariff rates. The Morocco tariff rate is proposed to increase from just over 2% to 14%. The lowest Russian rate increases from 14% to nearly 19%.
Soybean and Corn Advisor President Michael Cordoniere says corn leafhopper infestations have been common in northern Argentina, but the infestation in central Argentina was a surprise.
No one was ready for it, and it's caught the late-planted corn the most. See, the insect goes from more developed corn to less developed corn, and it can move like 500 kilometers. So a lot of corn in Argentina is planted late, so the late corn is what's been vulnerable to the insect. And there's no good control.
And Cordoniere says this is not the first time that Argentina has had an insect problem in growing corn.
Now, they had a problem similar to this years ago in Argentina called mal de Rio Cuarto. And it was transmitted by a bug very similar, and it was the same sort of disease. And after a number of years, they kept choosing more resistant hybrids, and now that problem is basically non-existent. So this is going to be with them for a while, but it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. But this year was just a complete surprise.
House Agriculture Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson and Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow will meet this afternoon to discuss the Farm Bill. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries and House Ag Committee Democrats will be meeting with Stabenow this morning. Thompson will release his Farm Bill text next week, and the markup of that legislation coming May 23rd.
USDA, EPA, and Food and Drug Administration have issued a joint plan to streamline and clarify regulations for biotechnology. A whole government approach includes oversight of biotech crops, animals, and microorganisms.
Meanwhile, the Chinese government has approved its first gene-edited wheat variety. This is a disease-resistant variety that's being grown for the food market. The Ag Ministry is also approving a new biotech corn with herbicide and insect-resistant traits and a high-yielding gene-edited corn hybrid. China has been slow to adopt biotechnology but has ramped up its approvals in the past year.
South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds has introduced legislation to block USDA's mandate for electronic identification ear tags on interstate cattle shipments. RCAF USA praising the bill, saying it preserves the rights for farmers and ranchers to choose the ear tags that work best in their management systems.
The United States and Mexico have renewed their commitment to work together on mutually beneficial dairy policies. The agreement calls for improving trade relations between the two countries, promoting dairy consumption, and defending common food names. The National Milk Producers Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council led that U.S. delegation.
The Ukrainian parliament has accepted the resignation of its agriculture minister. The ag minister is facing allegations of corruption and offered his resignation in April. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Regan testified before the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee yesterday. Regan was asked to comment on the year-round use of E15.
We have worked on satisfying that waiver request for eight states, and for years, fiscal years 2025 and beyond, those waivers will be permanent for those states to use E15 throughout the summers. So that gives those eight states a level of certainty for future investments to up that production of biofuels so that we can continue to keep our prices low but be globally competitive.
Minnesota and South Dakota are among the eight Midwestern states that petitioned for the E15 waiver.
The Rabobank Quarterly Dairy Report forecasts global milk production to expand modestly in the third quarter. Low feed costs are expected to improve margins at the farm level. Global dairy demand will likely increase slowly in the second half of the year. The difficult economy is expected to keep consumer demand flat in Europe. A reduction in dairy prices should help U.S. consumers, but significant sales growth is not being forecast.
Got some higher prices on the screen this morning. We have Minneapolis wheat 11¾ cents higher, 714.5. The Chicago wheat for July 11 higher, 645 the quote. Hard red winter wheat 14 cents better at 662.5. The corn market, we're at 460.25 for July, 1¾ higher. New crop corn with a 2 cent bump at 483.25. Soybeans, July 12, 31¼, 3.5 higher. The November contract, just a fraction higher, 12, 13¾, a gain of 0.75 cents. Of course, markets working ahead of the supply-demand report out at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. On the farm calendar, the North Dakota Public Service Commission has a series of public hearings on the Summit Carbon Solutions Pipeline. The next session will be Friday, May 24th at Wahpeton, and then they'll have a session June 4th. That'll be in Linton, North Dakota. North Dakota Stockmen's Association has their new headquarters with a grand opening coming up on May 30th, of course, in Bismarck, an opportunity to celebrate the new landmark facility in place. World Pork Expo is coming up June 5th and 6th at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. A new schedule, 2 days filled with seminars, trade show activity, and more. Again, World Pork Expo at the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines, Iowa. And a Carbon Capture and Storage Summit is coming up. It's part of the International Fuel Ethanol Workshop and Expo. June 10th through the 12th, Minneapolis, Minnesota is the site for that meeting. Again, that's also being held with the International Fuel Ethanol Workshop and a biodiesel summit all at the same time. Have yourself a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.